You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network, your guide to business and personal success.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. After graduating from the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina in 1991, Ted Pappas eventually ended up in San Francisco, where his passion for food, spirits, and wine grew even greater with the bountiful culinary scene of the Bay Area. With sights set on a better place to raise a family and to be in one of the best places for food, spirits, and wine, Portland, Oregon became the obvious choice, as did starting Big Bottom Whiskey in 2010. Mr. Pappas, thanks for joining us today on Enterprise Radio.
Oh, thank you, Eric. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very interesting, your story. So tell us, set the stage on the decision to enter the whiskey manufacturing business.
I've got a feeling that there's a lot of businesses that have been started this way, or at least talk about businesses. It actually happened over a poker game. Me and a bunch of buddies were sitting around, and we were discussing, you know, the climate of Oregon, the availability of oak in Oregon, the products we grow, the raw products. And so we started talking about, you know, God, I bet Oregon could one day produce a really good whiskey. And, you know, we didn't know anything about the business. This was well over 5 years ago. And so one day after that, one of the buddies from the poker games just said, well, why don't we just stop talking about it and do something? And that really got the wheels turning, and that was about 3 years ago. And, of course, your business model changes a whole bunch of times during that process before I actually settled on the model that I've got now. And so in January 2010, I officially became Big Bottom Distilling LLC, DBA Big Bottom Whiskey, and set my eyes on starting being a premier independent bottler in the country, and took that business model. Instead of going directly into distillation, made more sense from capital and risk and what have you.
Was it a challenge to start a business during the economy and the situation currently, and how did you obtain the financing to move forward?
Well, I've gotten that question a lot about the economy, and, you know, I've kind of divided things up mentally in one or two ways. It's either a roadblock or it's an obstacle. And we have the choice at that time period to take a look at the economy and figure out, is it a roadblock or is it an obstacle? And obviously, if it's a roadblock, you know, you stop. Do not pass go. And that's not the attitude I had to take. The challenge I had was making sure that anything that was put in front of me wasn't a roadblock and it was only an obstacle. And with obstacles, you can either go through it or go around it. And I found that once mentally I put myself in that frame of mind, I really didn't have to worry about the economy. And I know that might sound crazy, and people might not understand that and go, well, how can you not? It's liquor. And even during the worst economic times, liquor sales have done pretty good. Now, I'm not saying they're always going to do good, but they've done pretty good. And in fact, the whiskey trend has been on the rise for the past several years, when you've taken a look at the overall numbers of the different types of spirits compared to each other by percentage. And so I knew that I was getting into to an area of within the liquor market was on an increase. And at the same time, economically, I'm getting in an area that historically hasn't shown a severe decrease. So from a risk point of view, it was pretty safe. And there was other things that I probably should be worrying about, funding being one of them. Funding is kind of an interesting thing with this one. This definitely is a business where it's either, you know, go large or go home. And financing distillery startup can run you anywhere between $200,000 to $500,000. And what's interesting is it with whiskey, unless you plan on doing a white whiskey or plan on doing something else for cash flow, you produce it and then you let it sit down for a while. Can small barrel it, but still you're looking at 18 to 24 months before it would be released. So it's a challenging business model to get funding for that. And when you go looking for $500K, it's not a lot of money. You know, at that level, you're looking at friends and family. So taking a look at it after having lunch with a friend of mine, a well-respected distiller in the industry, and he said, well, why don't you go this route? And it was basically the independent bottler route. And the advice he gave me was, he goes, no matter what, though, always be upfront with your public with what you do. And I took that to heart and have constantly always preached what we do here at Big Bottom Whiskey. We're independent bottlers. We seek out the best product. I do some amazing things with this product in the finishing line. And I did it all with my own capital. And that's the thing that another friend of mine said to me. He goes, yeah, you can go out and get friends and family. You can go out and maybe get some other investors to do this. But at the end of the day, you're accountable to all of them. Be accountable to yourself. Bootstrap this and figure out how to do it. And that's exactly what I did. Started slow, built up. You know, there was a period of time when I had 4 barrels of bourbon in my warehouse, and that was it. And I just kept building and building and building and building. And after the magic 2 years, the financial doors kind of fling open, and banks are now willing to talk to you. And if you can make it to that point, the skies, you know, suddenly turn blue and everything, and there's capital there for you to access it. During that first 2 years, be really smart, understand what your risk is, understand your cash flow, and believe it or not, you can end up doing it yourself. And that's exactly what I did, and I'm accountable to me. And so it's a nice position to be in.
Without a question. Now, I understand you recently changed your label. Please explain the reason for that significant business branding change.
Ah, the old label. What's really funny about the label, about 2.5 years ago on PowerPoint, I mocked up a label. And I was like, yeah, that looks pretty good. So when we actually went to design the label in the second half of 2010, we ended up with something similar to what I did months earlier. And in your hand, it looked great. Really classy, screen print, simplistic. And I think to start out, it was the right way to go. Because certain things that we didn't know, you got to get it out there to market and see how it responds and be flexible enough to make changes and not always lead by your ego. So the product went out there, went out to market, a lot of positive response on the bottle. But then what we were finding, which was interesting, is we could tell people at a tasting in a liquor store in Oregon, which we can do, it's over there on the shelf, it's on the fourth shelf, and it's right close to this product. They'd go over there and they'd be looking, and they couldn't find it. And it happened enough times to where at one point, regardless of everyone saying, oh, I really love your bottle, you got to start paying attention and realizing it's not doing what it needs to do on the shelf. So unless I was there leading you to it, you're not going to get led to it on your own. So we said, okay, we got to make a change here. And we also, there was a spirits competition down in Southern California that they gave us some really good feedback on our packaging. And it was dead on. It was what I had been feeling for a period of time and said, yeah, you know, they're right. And we really need to create our image now. We've gotten a product out there. We've tested the market. It's a solid product. One of the products has won 2 gold medals. I'm like, we know we have the right product. Now it's time to focus on the delivery method and our story and really who we are. And it was really simple. We went back to Big Bottom. Big Bottom is one of the protected areas in the Clackamas Wilderness, which is all part of the Mount Hood Federal Reserve. And with that, we went back to there. And it's like, this is who we are. We are really this. A close friend of mine helped protect that land. We've got some story behind it, and it made sense. And so we said, let's tell people who we are. Let's tell them what we do. We put on the front of the label small batch because my batches are 2 to 3 barrels at a time. We don't chill filter. That's on the front of the label. The back of the label starts to give a little story about Big Bottom. No, it's not a Spinal Tap song. It's a real place. Not Margaritaville, but it's a location that you can go to. And getting who we are out there was very important. To show my personal dedication, I actually even traded my Challenger in for a truck, which was very difficult. But it made sense because it's who we are, outdoorsmen. In fact, the product that I have coming out in a couple of months, it's called The Outdoorsman. So we really discovered who we were, and it was really nice. We had the help of Ignite Advertising and Design do our new labels, and when we finally hit the label that we've got, it really struck a nerve and said, that's it. That's who we are. On the shelf, you can see it from when you walk into the store. There is it very visible on the shelf now. We have some great colors and labels, some good consistency on the designs between the products. So it's really looking good on the shelf. What's funny is people still like the old label, but I think sometimes old habits die hard. And when I explain to people, can you find it on the shelf? They go, well, yeah, you're right. We've had problems in the past finding it. I'm like, can you find it now? And they're like, oh, yeah. So in my opinion, mission accomplished.
Without a question. Today we are joined by Ted Pappas, creator and founder of Big Bottom Whiskey, located in Hillsboro, Oregon, part of the greater Portland area here on Enterprise Radio, while part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Also, you recently opened a tasting room and you're offering two additional whiskeys at the Hillsboro, Oregon warehouse / tasting room. Why did you decide to do this recently, and has it positively impacted sales?
Yeah, what happened, there's a couple of different laws up here in Oregon with the OLCC, because we are a controlled state, and it's an interesting order. One of them, in order to do this, you have to be a tasting room. After you become a tasting room, then you can apply to be a distillery outlet. And a distillery outlet allows you to sell your own products out of the tasting room. And then there was a third component that was added this year through the cooperation of the Oregon Distillers Guild, which I'm on the board, and the OLCC. We were able to get a law passed that allowed distilleries to sell their bottles at special events. Now, this might not seem like a big deal, but it's huge. It's a privilege that the wine and beer industry has had for some time, and we managed to get this passed in a short session, which was pretty impressive, but there was a lot of support, and with the help of the OLCC to get this done. When you add those three components together, it makes sense to have the tasting room and to be able to drive traffic in. What it also allows you to do is to do one-off small projects. And those are the two new labels that that we've got available in the warehouse. One of them I did kind of in honor of a professor from the Citadel, William Scharborough, and it's called the Wild Bill. And what I did is I took two port finishing barrels, put a bourbon in them, and left them. And let them sit for an extended period of time and decided to bottle it at cask strength, hence the name Wild Bill. At 118.3, you wouldn't know it's that high of proof. Comes across the palate beautifully. A lot of complexity in that one. The other one was an experiment, and it really was an experiment. When I got my port barrels for batch two, there was a white port barrel that I'd requested as well. And a white port being a dessert port, I said, yeah, let's put some bourbon here and see what happens to it. And I put an X on the barrel, just so I could distinguish between them, because when they're in the racks, you can't see on the top of the barrel to see if is it red around there or is it clear around there, to know which one was the white port barrel. And after 12 months, wow, amazing flavors coming out of this one. And it was really, it's a nice entry into dark spirits. Only 190 bottles produced, though. So very, very, very low quantity of that one. And, of course, when I called up my supplier, I said, hey, can I get some more white port barrels? They said, ooh, we don't have any. We won't have any until next year. And it took 12 months to finish the product. So we're looking at 2014 before that one can be recreated. But having these laws in place, you know, again with the cooperation of the OLCC, has allowed me to be able to do this. And a lot of states are jealous that I can do this. Speaking with other distilleries down in California, they can't come close to this, not in the model that we have up here. They can emulate it, but from a financial perspective, it's completely different. With me, where the advantage has been is being able to go out and do more of the special events. In order to do that, you've got to have the tasting room. We have consistent flow through our tasting room, which is great, but it's really that getting out there to the public, which has been a lot of fun. And the public in Oregon has responded very well. Your average Oregonian is very smart when it comes to wine and beer and food, and now they're becoming smarter with spirits. And the more we get out there as a spirit community and get more awareness of the growing industry in Oregon, the better off that we're going to be. And from a financial perspective, it's one of the better decisions that I have made since I started the company.
What have you learned from this experience, and what would your advice be to another person wanting to enter into the spirits industry or business ownership in general?
The first thing is have a bottle of your favorite booze on your desk at all times, because there will be time period when you will need to reach there and grab it, because you will be frustrated. Don't let anything out there scare you off. And don't let your ego drive what you're doing. When your ego starts to drive your business and your passion, you're going to find those roadblocks coming up. When you actually lead with your passion, you'll find that they all just become obstacles. And sometimes you might have to shift your plans around a little bit and make a few changes. But when the day's done, you can get around everything and make everything work as long as that passion's there. That is the number one key thing to this business, especially the spirits industry. Passion is paramount, because there are pockets out there that are so significantly deeper than yours that you will hit every single day. And you can either let that beat you down or look at it as an opportunity. So it's a tough business. It's one of those ones, though, that you're either in it or you're not. You can't dabble in this business. I found that early on, right before I started it, and that's why I decided to go in it. Being on the sidelines or doing it partially isn't the way to do it. You'll get run over pretty quick. So I would encourage it. It's a growing industry. The micro movement is in full swing. The consumers are going to have some excellent choices as they do now. That's going to continue to grow. And the American public in general is getting smarter, and what we are finding is that younger generations are starting to appreciate liquor, which before, you know, out of college, you're still drinking beer. What we're finding now, especially with whiskey, is your whiskey drinker is now starting to creep into the 20s, and they're very smart, and they understand whiskey, and they understand the industry. So it's a great time to be here. Don't let the economy get you down. And like I said, have that bottle close by, because you just might need it at a certain point.
Well, tell us where our listeners can get more information and also to visit your website, obviously online.
Visit the website at bigbottomwhiskey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at Big Bottom Whiskey, as well as Twitter, BB Whiskey. The best place to be able to get info is going to be the combination of those three. And I encourage everyone, if you're ever in the greater Portland Hillsboro area, come by the Hillsboro warehouse and say hello.
Sounds like a plan. He is Ted Pappas, creator and founder of Big Bottom Whiskey, located in Hillsboro, Oregon, part of the greater Portland area. And the website of reference, once again, is bigbottomwhiskey.com. Ted, thanks so much for joining us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, and this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.